EIP committee, March 4th, yes. I have approval of minutes.
So moved.
I'll second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries. Building and grounds.
Good morning. I'm pitch hitting today for B&G. First item is to authorize RFP for E&A services for the renovation of the county office building bathrooms. Currently not all ADA compliant.
And those are original to the building, so 84, 85. They're in need of some upgrades, and once we get into it, it's not just something that we feel we can just repair or replace, because then it opens up the new code and ADA. And so we'd like to have the good news is from the ground floor up, the bathrooms are essentially identical. So once we have a design, we can then replicate.
And we have a fairly large capital project funded for this.
Yeah, we've been funding the capital project for 5 years now or something, knowing it's not going to be cheap, but they're in need.
Yeah.
Motion.
Very likely. Very likely.
They're old.
They are.
Yeah.
They are 1980s vintage. So am I. It doesn't make you bad, but.
You're a youngster. Second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Next item is to recommend Charles F. Oliver & Son LLC as a low bidder in the amount of $10,975 for a Ferris zero-turn mower. The lowest bid actually came for out of Batavia, but did not meet the specs, so looking to get rid of that and award to Charles F. Oliver & Son.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
Next item, generator maintenance. So over the last couple of years, B&G and Emergency Management have combined all of their generators into one bid to go out. So there's 21 generators being maintenance throughout the county. The low bidder is Integrated Power at $18,130. That is a $4,069 increase from last year, but it's due to the increased number of generators as well. So looking to award that.
Why'd you increase?
Because they grouped them all together.
Oh,
wait, kind yeah, of emergency services, 911. They used to contract separately.
Civil so, defense and
yeah.
Oh,
bring them all under one.
Yep.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
Historian. Good morning, Griffin.
Good morning.
Well, congratulations on coming on full time, huh?
Thank you. Yeah.
Glad to have you.
I'm really excited that I'm here for full time. It's really nice.
Super.
Yep. So let me pull up the agenda here. The first item is accepting $15,000 from New York State 250th Commemorative Committee. They sent an email to Jack, who sent it to my office, to award us $15,000 to use towards America 250 celebration funding. I'm asking that the county accept the $15,000 towards for my office to use for America 250 funding.
And it's available to every county. We didn't know it was coming, but we got the letter that said here's $15,000. Yeah. So,
yep.
And Griffin he'll talk about, but has some plans for that.
Yes, that'll be after the vote, or I can share it with you now.
No.
Okay.
Motion.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion?
I just want to hear what we're going to spend it on.
Okay.
Yep, that will be for the next item. I can share it with you now.
Just a minute.
Oh, okay.
Let's finish. Justin.
Just a quick question.
Sure.
Is this truly funded by New York State or funneled down from federal, you know?
From what I looked at the legal writing in the MOU agreement, it was strictly from the New York State 250
correct.
Fund.
Yeah, we haven't seen any.
No.
Yep.
I have no indication if it was federal.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
The second item is to update you on what the funds will be used towards. I have in plan September 5th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Pulteney Square. I plan on having a music and history fair. It will involve a mixture of musicians. One of them that I want to highlight, Singers for Democracy. They are a national troupe that organizes local agencies to work on their behalf to present brand new music that was composed for this America 250 event. And I'm close friends with the person that's organizing the local troupe for our area. So he was really excited to jump on board this America 250 celebration. Along those lines, I am also planning on having local historical societies and museums set up mini tents in Pulteney Square to do a cool history fair showing off Steuben County's contributions to American history. Some others that are still in the works, but I'm feeling pretty positive they can work out, is getting the Lexington Minutemen to come from Massachusetts to come up here. They are a troop that is a Revolutionary War reenactment troop. They can offer musket firing. They have a whole Minutemen troop. They have colonial women. It's a very nice connection to America and the colonial Revolutionary War period. And I also am planning on having some other historical reenactors, people who could play more local historical people like Colonel Williamson, Baron von Steuben. Even though he wasn't local, it's good to possibly get the namesake of our county to come to Steuben County. Even the public Universal Friends, some interesting figures from our history. So I'm in the works of doing that. That's all working pretty quickly on getting that done.
Sounds great. Yes.
Are you working, or have you reached out to Benjamin Patterson? There are several people that do that.
Oh, yes. I have a very healthy list of all of the historical society contacts, and I'm in good relationship. I work with the treasurer or the archivist at the CPP Historical Society, so I can easily get a good relationship with them going for this event.
How many Trump hats can you buy with $15,000?
You know, I don't know.
None. Zero.
I don't know.
Get one for Joe.
Zero. Zero. There's always someone in the crowd.
Yes. Yes, Hildy, you had a question.
Are you going to do anything around the 4th of July time frame?
I'm not opposed to that. That might be for a special, just separate little mini event. The only reason, and it's a very odd reason why it's September 5th, is because the Singers for Democracy really were hoping to do September 5th. That's what they were forced to take for the date. And I really want to partner up with Singers for Democracy. This is a really cool event to showcase some brand new music that has never been heard before. And it really does honor the history and legacy of America 250.
So also, we have the Articles of Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to, I assume, that'll be part of some of the,
yes,
what you're going
to
do.
And that's part of why I selected Pulteney Square, is because it's convenient to have the Charters for Freedom. Yeah. And also the Colonel Williamson's stone, where the first trees were cut down to settle this area, was right in Pulteney Square. So there's a lot of importance in why I chose Pulteney Square of all places. And it's conveniently right next to the county office building. So it just makes for a nice image for the whole event.
Nice.
You and I have talked about this before. Is there any kind of a thing on slavery?
There is a quite extensive that I am currently working on with Kirk House at the Historical Society. Just yesterday, I was going at the county clerk's office to look through their deed records, and there are actual lists of slave sales in some of the county records. So there are genuine articles that show that there were slave purchases and sales going on,
yeah,
in Steuben
just
County.
Did a session in Corning.
Yes.
Slavery.
Yes.
In the
Kirk
county.
Did a wonderful session on that.
Last month.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I took a course in Rochester last year, and it was on segregation in the city of Rochester. Mm-hmm. It was fascinating from day one, all the slavery, how the city was split up by the Genesee River, and the prominent families up there that had slaves, and a lot of slaves came out of Bath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bath was
A
Captain
couple
William
of the
Helm.
prominent slaves,
Yeah.
yeah.
We had one person, Miss Captain Helm, who was kind of like the main person that was involved with the slave trade for Steuben County
Yeah.
for a brief period of time, but it's
Has
part of our
been.
history. So that's the update that I have. Are there any other questions that you have for me on that? Okay, and then the other item is this is just an update that I want to officially ask for a vote at a future date because I haven't had all the ducks in the row to really give you a solid committee on this. I'm thinking of creating a Steuben County America 250 committee just to help out with organizing this event because this is not an event that could easily be done just by one person alone. So I am planning on having a committee set up probably for next month for the agenda to approve Steuben County to create a or formalize a committee for celebrating America 250. I'll just give you an update on that. And
Is it called 2:30?
oh, for that's for the next one because this year is Steuben
I'm sorry,
County.
I went ahead.
If, no worries, no worries. I'm glad you brought that up. That conveniently segues to the next item is Steuben County 230. I have drafted up a resolution or a proclamation, excuse me, for announcing Steuben County's 230th anniversary. And I'm asking for Steuben County to approve the proclamation for celebrating our 230th anniversary.
And if I'm correct, so was this the proclamation, not the memorializing resolution?
Yeah,
So,
this is the
yep.
proclamation,
So
yes.
don't necessarily need a motion, but you'll see a proclamation from Kelly,
Got it.
naming, I forget the date,
March
as
8th.
March 8th as Stoop,
Yeah, March 8th.
as proclaiming it as Steuben County Day.
I don't think so.
We'll see.
Then people are going to go, what the heck is that about? Because they didn't even know what 175 was.
So don't need a motion,
Okay. All right.
but just for your information.
Yes. And then the third item I just want to highlight the Hornell Civil War Soldiers Monument. That one is a memorialization. Chris Olix, who is from Hornellsville, he contacted my office a couple months ago. He is going pretty headstrong with getting a project to add four plaques onto the Mount Hope Cemetery in Hornellsville. There is a Civil War monument that has very blank sides on all four sides of the actual granite, not the statue, but the actual monument itself is blank. And he was thinking that it probably should have the names or at least recognition of the Hornellsville soldiers who went off to fight in the Civil War, who were either killed in action, prisoners of war, died from service, who sacrificed their lives for defending our Union. So he is going to, he's just asking for the county to memorialize and recognize and support his project to update the Civil War statue.
So this would be a motion to memorialize in support of this project.
No money,
Motion.
just to memorial.
Yep. Yeah, no money. It's not
Money.
asking for money. It's just to get
I'll move
the
that.
letter of
I'll
support. I
second.
did receive the just at he did send me the cost for it and it's a bit eye-watering. So he's gonna have to find a way to get some funds for that. And he's probably gonna do a some sort of fundraising event to help get those
All
funds.
right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
All
How
right.
many names people were killed one way or the other?
I think he said there were close to 1,000. Don't quote me on that. I would have to really double check on the records, but there were a lot of people that went to service and a lot of people that were killed.
So is it going to be just the ones that died or were killed,
There
or is it
are,
going to be everybody that went?
it's going to be honoring those who were negatively affected either by PO, being a POW, killed in action, died of disease, died in service, or killed in action. It's honoring those who never were able to easily get back home. Yes.
This is the one in the portal.
Yeah, it's specifically Hornellsville. He's calling it, back then it used to be just known as Hornellsville. So he's calling it the whole entire area, including the city that is now known as the city of Hornell. Yep.
Anything further for Griffin? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, Marie. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Good morning. All right, sticking with the history thing, obviously we have Sean in the office, and it was his first experience with a floppy disk. And then Gen 2 is how I described the other floppy disk. So do we have any computers that could actually read this in the county?
Oh.
Okay.
Maybe Griffin has something.
I know.
Just got rid of one of our floppy screens.
Oh, all right. Well,
sitting there,
I guess we'll never know what's on there. Second, I know I talked to Mr. Valino about this. There is a renewable energy and farmland protection summit at NYSAC. It is Sunday, so Sunday before the conference starts, March 15th, 3 to 6 p.m. at the Crown Plaza Albany Desmond Hotel. So I got the email. So maybe if you are interested in it, check your emails. And I can also forward this. Is anyone interested in this besides Mr. Valino?
What was it?
It is a renewable energy and farmland protection summit.
What were the hours?
3 to 6. So I don't know what everyone's plan, their travel plans were.
You can send
this.
To me.
Send it to
me.
Who is me? Oh, okay.
Do you include everyone as well?
Okay. So do you want just AIP or the whole?
Everyone's fine.
Okay. So the other thing, it does say that it is space is limited to 60. So if you are interested, please RSVP as soon as possible for that. And then I just got the last contract from the Central Steuben or Bath Chamber of Commerce. So I'll be sending out the yearly reports to Hilda. And so you'll have all of those for 2026.
What reports are these? I'm sorry.
Chambers of Commerce.
Oh.
Yep, from the contracts. So they're all required to submit their annual report or what they plan on doing with the funds that they receive from us.
Which I'm concerned that they're not doing what we asked. But Jack, did I send you a note? Because I don't know if I did or not, but is there criteria that we have? And I asked Kevin Peterson. He did not know.
Yeah,
that.
Kevin and I met about that, and it's probably a topic for discussion this year sometime about how these funds are allocated and if you want to consider a different method of allocating, like, you know, like with Wine Country, we allocate those to the CVB and then they allocate it on our behalf. The criteria is they have to send essentially a report with what they've used the funds for the previous year and what they plan to use the funds for the next year. It's pretty, we've, I guess, left it pretty broad if it's related to tourism or placemaking, or I know like the Central Steuben, I haven't seen this year's report, but a lot of times they use it to help fund music in the park. It brings hundreds of people. Okay. You know, that develops businesses. We've had a lot of chambers of commerce over the years that haven't utilized the funds or we haven't provided them because they haven't submitted those documents.
But I think when I'm looking at some of these reports, a lot of it's administration, and that's not, from what I remember when we first started this, that it was not the intent of that money.
I would agree with that. So I met with Kevin last week, I think, and this was one of the topics that we discussed. And, you know, I kind of put it on his, I don't want to create more of an administrative burden for him. For newer legislators, we had some discussion about CVB managing funds for the chambers of commerce back.
We did this before.
A number of years ago, and the feeling of the legislature at that time was just allocate it directly. I don't know if that has changed. So that's what Kevin and I are talking about how would they manage the process and develop options essentially to bring to you.
So I was going to meet with Kevin. I told him, let's brainstorm some ideas
Yep.
because he agrees it's not what the intent was at the beginning.
And that's sort of what we, you know, if it is even for, if it's not bringing, I mean, if it's not necessarily bringing tourists from outside the area, but it's an event that brings people together and maybe some people from outside the area, like a music in the park, it supports downtown business. Okay, that seems to meet the original stated purpose. But yeah, so you know, have after your conversation, if you want to tag me in, you know, we can talk and we can bring back to AIP ideas.
I mean, it's not a lot of money, but the intent was to bring
It's
tourists.
45 grand total, so yeah.
Yeah, it isn't a lot of money. Yeah.
Kelly.
I wonder if we couldn't establish like some kind of an application program,
That's it.
and then you could, instead of just carte blanche giving each chamber a certain dollar amount, they have to tell you specifically what event is it, how is it benefiting the downtown prior to getting the funds, because I mean, the Bath Chamber does a lot of events downtown, but it doesn't bring in outside. Like Trunk or Treat is not going to bring in tourists. Music in the Park, perhaps, and I imagine that most of their money goes toward that. But then my only other concern is if CVB manages it, we don't want them to take a 10% cut off the top for administration.
Right.
That would not happen.
Yeah, and I don't think they would do that. Yeah, certainly this is something that comes up, it seems like every 5 to 10 years, that it's a historical, it's always been in the budget to go directly to. And when previous times there were ideas to change it, ultimately the legislature chose not to, but it's a perfect time to discuss all those options. Yeah.
Sure.
We
Is it
talked about a
Chamber in
form.
Hornell? Do we allocate any funds over
There
there?
is the chamber still active,
Yes.
Mr. Nesbitt? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would like to see us look at how those funds are allocated and maybe, I mean, see what activities there are. I mean, it does seem to be heavily centered in Corning, but Corning does have more activities and things that draw in tourists for that. But I would like to see it. It seems like we forget about Hornell.
Yeah, for
Right.
these, Hornell has Hornell, Bath, Hammond Sport, and Corning are the main ones that have always received the historic allocation.
But I suggest that we have a form that says, what is it? How many people do you think are going to be coming? How much money you're spending, rather than the general stuff we're getting from these chambers. And they're probably doing it. It's just that it's
That's the
all
way
very general.
the way they've always done it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so and I think
Yep.
normally we don't talk again until about contracts until December. Hopefully the target date is December to bring it to AIP for approval. So we'll have plenty of
Gives us
time.
time to work on it.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Yeah.
Yes, I do have a couple items that you've been emailed about, but apologies for not making the formal agenda. First, we have Mike Nesbitt from the Hornell IDA and Jamie here to talk about the infrastructure grant. As a reminder, if you didn't see the email or as a refresh, the county infrastructure grant was new to us. It was placed in the state budget last year, and it's up to $1 million per county for infrastructure, so water, sewer, roads, etc., to support housing development. Last year, there were two projects that were considered, Park Grove in Irwin, which the legislature ultimately, and again, don't need a formal vote. It's because it's a grant application. We're applying on behalf of other entities. Park Grove was the one that was applied for. That's going very well. At the time, the Hornell IDA and the city of Hornell had what I sent you, the West Street or development, kind of in the hopper, but not as far along as the Park Grove. So that's why Park Grove was decided. Mr. Nesbitt, Jamie, the mayor, and I met, and they are in a really good spot with a developer for this to be a project to apply for, or the project to apply for, because you can only apply for one for the County Infrastructure Grant Program. And certainly those gentlemen can answer questions. We are not aware of any other housing, and they really want this to be shovel ready. Shovel ready doesn't mean shovels go in the ground as soon as the funding is allocated, but ESD, Empire State Development, has defined it essentially within a year development is going to be happening. And this is the only one we're aware in the county at the moment that has reached this kind of threshold. So we would like feedback from you. We would like your okay, essentially, for us to work with the Hornell IDA and apply for this project under the infrastructure grant program. And certainly we can answer any questions that you have, if you have any.
May I ask what this development is or project? Would you come up, sir?
Or my...
The IDA back in 2023 acquired 7.5 acres on West Street in Hornell. For those of you that know anything about Hornell, it's right down the road from where David Reedman built all the townhouses. So what we've done in Hornell is, with the IDA and with the city and everybody involved, we've created about 250 various level apartment houses. Well, we're to the point now where apartment houses, we think we're in pretty good shape, and apartments and townhouses, but we have a real need for single family housing. I was acutely aware of that because the company I came for, we had the issue. Our other employers, Austin, has the issue. We just don't have housing, especially some of the upper level housing, to attract professionals to our area. Therefore, if our businesses need engineering or administration and things, the people you get either don't want to come there or they live somewhere else. If they live in Hornell, they live in Steuben County, it builds our tax base. It doesn't, and they spend money here. It doesn't do us a lot of good if they live elsewhere. Things that are, they're important is for families coming here, our schools, keeping the family happy. We've done that with projects like the YMCA and adequate housing. The thing this does, and houses, they're expensive. So without, we purchased the land, we cleared the land, we had to tear down a house, we purchased another piece of land, and we're in the final stages of having the designs done. We have an engineering firm doing that. But we're creating houses that, and even people sometimes upgrade. So as we create those 10 houses, I have no doubt they'll be full. They'll fill the needs of some of our business and some of the requests they've had of us. They'll also free up other houses as people upgrade to them. And we're looking at houses at all different price range. We're not setting it. The developer that's going to do it, he builds houses at all different ranges. He's done it before. He just finished a project down around Ithaca where he took over. He bought an old school and upgraded that, working with the state. So it is a huge need. The 10 houses, we hope, is just the beginning. The reason that we're requesting is the grant is because we, last year, our estimate to do the infrastructure was about 1.8 million. I'm told it's going to be much more than this year. We downsized the project. Last year it was 20 houses. It was just too tight. So the developer says, I can put 10 in there where they're sellable. We can build 10 houses, but for some reason the infrastructure costs more for 10 than it does 20. So our estimate, it's going to cost $200,000. The estimate the IDA has made to date is about $250,000. We bought the land. We had to tear down an old house. We cleared the land, developed it. Then we bought another little piece. So the IDA has a $200,000, $250,000 investment, which we would not look to get back. We would put that into the project. But if we had to add the infrastructure to each house, you're looking at taking the price of building a new house, which is unreal because of the cost of material, and you're adding another $200,000 to each house. We're pretty much putting ourselves out of the market from what we've discussed with the developer, the realtors, and people like that. I think the houses are sellable But if we tried to get our money back, we tried to put all this infrastructure costs, and I'm not talking about anything the landowner and or the house builder or the people building the houses would be responsible for. They will still do. What we're looking at, it'll take a road coming off West Street to go in the middle, an access road for the houses on either side. But as far as bringing the utilities to their houses and things, they'd have to do that. But we have to create a road. We have to create the infrastructure, the lighting. We have to get gas and electric to them again, not to the house, but to the access road, just like any other street. And then they would be responsible for the other. But like I said, the reason we're looking at it, it's a big need we have. We'd like to go. We're looking at other sites in Hornell to do the same thing. But this is the only site that we have control of because we own it right now. There's not a lot of places in the city to build houses. Anything else we would do, we would have to annex it, or it would have to be in Hornellsville or our ports. This is about the last site we have to do things like this. But the biggest thing is it's to support our businesses because they have a difficult time attracting professionals. And that's one of the big reasons.
So what's these houses going to cost?
What is that?
What's the cost of the sale of the houses? When you put them on the market for somebody to buy,
Yeah,
what's the
I've been told the about the if somebody just had the basic house, it's going to cost them about 320,000, and it would be up to, but then it would be up to them. If they want more of a house, they can have more of a house, and the developer builds house. But we're looking at a minimum cost of a house of 320,000. I will tell you, in Hornell and even Canisteo where I live, you put an upper level house on the market, it doesn't stay. Our developer said, "Well, I don't see a lot of these high price houses changing hands. It's because they're gone in a day. The areas that we have, and like I said, even where I live in the Village of Canisteo, if you get a house 250,000 on up, it doesn't stay on the market a week. So there's a real need for that kind of housing. But so it's twofold for me. It's to support our businesses, give them what they need to attract people, and it's to keep people here." Like I said, if we have, and there's another issue with businesses, they will house people for a year. Say if they hire an engineer, they don't like doing it because they pay their lease and stuff and it gets expensive. So it's a cost to them, but then the people don't stay. And that's one of the big issues that we have in a small city and a small community. I think we're handling it well in Hornell. Housing right today is our biggest issue, though. You know,
Building.
we've done the restaurants, we've done the Y, we've up beautiful upgrade downtown, but housing is our big issue, and even finding one, and even people that want to upgrade their houses, and it happens as people, you know, get more successful, get in their 30s, they sell the house downtown, so it frees up houses at a lower cost. It accommodates and helps with growing our economy and our industrial development.
So I just wanted to, first of all, say it's nice to see someone from the Hornell IDA. We see Jamie, and we're happy to see Jamie on a regular basis, but I've been here a long time, and I think maybe twice we've had someone from Hornell come to talk to us.
Well,
But
I was on the board of the county IDA, but they
well,
got new jackets and I didn't get one.
glad you're here in person. But the other thing is, you know what happened in Corning with
Yes.
the Northside Blodgett project, right? The houses started at 175, ended up being 350. 400,000. Nobody bought, not even one, and now they're all rentals. I think they're all full, but they're all rentals. Do you see some? I mean, that was an interesting project for Reedman. I don't know if they've lost money or want or making out okay, but do you see that kind of happening?
I don't for the amount of houses we're building because frankly, people call me all the time. They know we own the property and they say, "Can I build a lot?" Well, that would not do what we want to do. Somebody buy a build a lot and they'd have one lot. They still wouldn't have the infrastructure up there. So they build a lot right on West Street, but then nobody else would live up there. So we have interest in them already. And like I said, the higher price houses at 250 on up do not stay on the market. There's not enough of them. They sell quickly. That there is a market for that type of houses, and our And I worked for TTA, the Alstons of the world, the TTAs of the world. If they want, they're bringing six-figure employees, and they want an upper scale house, and they want a newer house, and we just don't have them. We have the ones we have don't stay. So therefore, they will drive from Rochester, or they will come in and they will want to be housed by their employer, but they don't stay. And it's important. Alstom are starting a new project. As a lot of you probably know, they did the car shell shop. They are now ready to move car shells. So a metro project is starting. They have a New York City project coming. They'll have an influx of engineers. And right now, as far as single family housing, we don't have anywhere to put them.
You seen any issues with getting power?
Pardon me? No, there is no issue with getting power. It's just the power is on West and the sewer and water. When David Reedman built the townhouses up there, the city ran sewer water. So on West Street, it's on the street. The only thing we'd have to do is move it off the street and up onto the new street. That's not an issue. The electric and gas is there. All you got to do is move them up into development. And we're just looking at the main lines. And then, like a house would do, just like anybody else that builds a house, they would be responsible for moving it up.
Scott.
We, as you already said, we did this for Irwin last year, and it's just an infrastructure grant. The county has no involvement other than just being the body that applies for the money
Correct.
on behalf of. And I remember, I know you have problems with houses because I remember when I was on the IDA and you said that Alstom new employees were driving from Geneseo every day
Yeah.
because
At least,
there
yeah.
was nothing available in the Hornell area for them.
You're right.
And
The issue that, Scott, is they do that, but if they can get a job closer, then they
sure.
leave.
Yeah.
And if you're engineering, especially engineers, if you're in the middle of a new project, you can't have your engineers leaving.
Yep.
And a lot of it is, and I'm sure you know, it's their family. The family want a nice house. The family want something to do at night. It's not always the worker because unfortunately in the, and I was in the industry, you work a long hour. So it's not, but you have to have nice housing. You have to have good schools, which we have
Right.
both in Hornell, Canisteo, and the surrounding area. And you have to have things for them to do at night. I have a comment.
Okay. Jack?
Yeah, thank you. For the record, something new, and we talked about this with Mike and Jamie, is something new to keep in mind for this grant program if it were continue to be funded by the state, which all indications during the governor's budget process is that they intend to. They added a new component to the program this year, making projects up to $500,000. If it didn't involve housing, you could apply for projects up to $500,000 for placemaking, amorphous language on tourism and things like that, but it still has to go to infrastructure improvements. It's still infrastructure. I did talk to Kevin because Mike and the mayor had to do some legwork on this to make sure we were good to go. That is an option. You can only apply up to 500, but certainly the recommendation, because this is ready to go. It's directly related to housing. It's eligible for up to $1 million, is go for this one. But in the future, if we run out of housing options, there is that placemaking component, but it has to be used for infrastructure. It can't just go to fund a tourism initiative or something like that. Just wanted to make that clear because that is a change.
We also the mayor works with the county land bank and Chris, and they build both these houses, new houses for that. And actually, they're less expensive because there is nothing more than the material. They don't stay on the market for 2 minutes. They're gone as soon as they're built, and they're not 350,000, but they're not zero either. They can be a couple hundred thousand. They're not, but that's what it takes nowadays to build a house, which is unfortunate. The days of $170 it doesn't exist anymore.
Any further questions from Mike?
Don't, like I said, don't need a motion, just a
Yeah.
consensus that we'll work with Mike and move forward and apply.
We all agree?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate
Thank
it.
you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. The final thing on my end, emailed around yesterday, the chair made us aware of a memorializing resolution that is floating around some of the towns. So those in town capacity might see that on your listserv or through the Association of Towns, but it's memorializing NYSEG or memorializing the Public Service Commission to more heavily scrutinize NYSEG rate increases. I sent that around, so putting that on the table for your thoughts.
Did everybody see it?
Yeah.
You think
it's going to do any good?
Never hurts to make NYSEG and PSC or behemoth organizations that are going to do what they do, but I think it's important that Albany hears the voices of you folks.
Jeff?
I agree it might not do anything, but the only thing is I think it shows our people that we're aware of it and that we're doing what little bit we can. Because I know, like Town of Wayne, that's one thing they wanted me to do at their meeting this month is tell them what the county is doing to help them with NYSEG.
Right.
I mean, I know we can't do much, but this is something we can say we're doing.
Yep.
It probably won't do any good, but it won't hurt.
Yeah.
It's worth sending it, sure.
Yeah.
So we need a motion.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Further discussion?
I was at a restaurant in Chemung County. I know it's Chemung County. I'm sorry.
Not Florida?
No.
On the way home.
Just yesterday.
Okay.
Smart ass. Oops, sorry. and this restaurant's electric bill for 1 month went from $1,200 to $5,400 in 1 month, and nothing changed. So it's obviously it's houses, it's businesses, it's everybody. And that's it's ridiculous.
There was also a letter that NYSERDA sent to the governor's office last week that made it onto social media that NYSERDA themselves are saying that this CLCPA plan that the state has is a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And that it looks like by 2030, the increased cost per household in upstate New York will be $4,000 to the electric bills, and downstate would be $2,300. And that they expect that fuel costs will go up $2.25 statewide to cover all the aspects of this ridiculous plan.
This will certainly be a topic of conversation up at NYSAC. I think if you followed, some of the public dialogue out of lawmakers in Albany is starting to change.
Yeah.
Yeah, as it should be.
Yeah. And it's not just electric. I mean, Corning Natural Gas handed out a rate from 41 cents per therm in February, it went to 84 cents per therm. It more than doubled. My total gas bills for my three businesses was $13,000 for February. Mm-hmm. One of them went from $930 to $4,200. Granted, February was a cold month,
yeah,
but it went from $930 to $4,200 for one location.
Ours went up $300 in the month of February, and we weren't even home.
Yeah.
You better check, make sure you didn't have a squatter.
Yeah.
Well, any further discussion?
Oh.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Tess?
That it, sir?
I have a question.
Motion to adjourn, Lisa.
Tess, do you want to? I put her on the spot.
What's that?
I was going to ask Tess to talk about an update on CCE. I sent you an email. I don't know if you. I sent it yesterday or the day before.
Oh boy.
Sorry.
It's all right.
To talk about the strategic plan and what we're doing.
Okay. So we're working on our 2026-2028 strategic plan for Cornell Cooperative Extension. I apologize. Let me start before that, though. I'm Tess McKinley for our new board members. Congratulations for being elected. I'm the executive director for Cornell Cooperative Extension, been there over 6 years. So we work on a strategic plan on a 3-year cycle. So we're working on our 2026-2028 strategic plan. We're a little bit late because we put it on pause because one of our very large programs called SNAP Ed was defunded by the federal government in September 2025 with the Big Beautiful Bill. So anyways, moving forward, we are working on our strategic plan. We had a really nice session with everybody in January to talk about what we'd like to have in the plan. And we should have that done probably by the end of March or April. We'll be voting on that. But some things that came up in the strategic plan includes expanding our current programs like Ag in the Classroom and Agriculture and Natural Resources and 4-H, and also making sure that we have staff longevity and we keep them happy, and making sure we have the infrastructure to do all of that. So typical strategic plan stuff, but we're excited to move forward with that. Does anybody have any questions about that? Quick update. So for folks that have been asking about SNAP Ed, so in the past we had 13 staff throughout six counties. Because of the defunding of SNAP Ed at the federal government level, the state did give us a small amount of funding to continue it until September 2026. So we now have three staff for SNAP Ed that are still doing nutrition education and working with our schools to help them with their health and wellness committees, and also working on things like our fruit and vegetable prescription program and Veggie Van. We're advocating that New York State pay for SNAP Ed moving forward. It's $30 million a year for the entire state to have SNAP Ed. And so that's pretty much to help people in poverty eat healthy. And you can't, it's hard to complain about helping people in poverty eat healthy. So that is what the program does. We're hoping it'll be funded. If not, we have applied for other grants to continue the employment of our three staff. So,
Any questions for Tess?
No.
Thank you so much.
Hey, sis.
I apologize. I did not get your email.
Sorry.
Jamie, do you have anything?
Oh, I never turned out an opportunity.
Good
Morning, everybody, and
morning,
thank you
sir.
for your continued support of our efforts, and in particular the project we've been working with Mike and Hornell. This will be a great housing project, and we're excited to be play a part in it and support the Hornell IDA as we move forward. So, just a couple of quick things. You probably have all seen in the newspaper that there have been a couple of recent announcements and actions that we've taken. In particular, the housing project that this group supported last year through the same program, Park Grove, is moving forward in Irwin. We took our first action for our final approval. The town of Irwin has gotten through all of their approvals. We've run into a little snag with DEC and wetlands, but we're hoping we can work through that. We're waiting for some engineering reports back. Hopefully we'll get them today, and we can then go back to DEC with some mitigation measures. But that project should be kicking off relatively soon. In addition, LP is expanding. They're putting on a 46,000 square foot expansion. Basically, they're almost doubling the size of their production space. If you look at it from the front, you'll see the roof line. From that roof line over towards the railroad, they're basically gonna blow the building out by 46,000 square feet, which is another big win for the community. That's been a great investment and great project. On the gun lock front, just to give everybody a little bit of an update, and Shannon, thank you. I know you participated and attended the session that CSS Workforce put on. There was a day-long session that our Workforce Investment Board, which Jack is the chair of, participated and put on a fair of sorts, a services fair, to give all of the employees an update on what services may be available to them when they are impacted by the layoffs. I think 84 of the 130 attended. And then I know there's going to be a follow-up job fair on site for early May that CSS is working on. In addition, we've been in conversations with the real estate team about their expectations for that building, and they've signed an exclusive contract with JLL, which is a major site selection firm and real estate firm that's got global connections. They'll be marketing that facility, and we're going to work very closely with them to continue to move that forward. The only other major project that we've got that we're working on right now that we can discuss is the Curtis School. We have gotten through all of the mitigation in the roof. The roof has been replaced, and construction should start on that in relative short order to do a conversion on that. So a lot of exciting things. I look forward. We're wrapping up our annual reporting for the state right now. So maybe not next month, but definitely by April or May, I'll be able to come back and give some progress reports on all 62 of our projects that we've got underneath the IDA pilot. So, happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
How about the solar and wind projects with the new administration not in love with them? How's that funding going forward?
So I was actually just whispering to Chris. We monitor the NYISO, the New York State System Independent Operators, which controls the grid. They require each project that is going through an interconnection to go through a grid study, and they cluster them in clusters. We monitor that because you can see what counties those studies are taking place in. You can't necessarily see the location. The most recent grid study that is in place, we saw 295. It was either 295 or 265 from Steuben County drop out. So that gives you a little bit of an idea. Now, there's multiple reasons, why, but I think, a lot is regarding cost and permitting is playing into the reason why they're dropping out. So we've seen we've got a couple of small solar projects that are still, trying to move forward. Prattsburg Wind is still trying to move forward, but they've seen cost increases, both on labor and materials, on both sides increase by 30%. We're seeing a real slowdown on the renewable side of things. Again, I've had this conversation. I think I've said it here. Whether you support renewable, you don't support renewable, you have to look at an all-in, model for generation. And as we're seeing these costs go up, generation is not developing. And it's going to become a real problem. And I know Scott mentioned the NYSERDA report that was released, leaked, whatever you want to say. I think there is a real concern within the legislature on both sides of the aisle and at the governor's office that these costs are skyrocketing a lot because of policy on both sides of the equation. And I think in hope, and I know our state association, New York State Economic Development Council, is really promoting and supporting the administration taking a hard look at CLCPA and trying to take a fresh look at that.
I read in the Leader a couple of weeks ago, Watkins Glen had two Saturdays in a row where they completely their entire power grid shut down, a village power system. And talking to the administrator of it, he said it's just overloaded. And it's because so many people have converted away from natural gas heat and now have electric heat, and we don't have the system that can handle it anymore. And that's a perfect example of where this entire state is headed.
I don't disagree with that statement, but I also think you have to recognize that's a unique situation, Scott, because you see Bath is in a, sees similar impacts at times because they're both muni electric, so they get the low cost power from Power Authority and right out of Niagara Falls. And because the cost of power are lower in the municipal service areas, most homes within those communities are heated with electric. So when you get high demand, events like you said, February was a cold month, you absolutely do see the additional stress on that because of the load factors, because those are municipal systems.
But that's where Scott's saying, if you make 1,000 more electric cars and Watkins Glen, you
Absolutely.
already couldn't do it.
Absolutely. It's the pressure on the grid continues to increase. And the other factor, and I had this conversation yesterday with some folks about data centers, and now we're talking about data centers, and I'm real skeptical of data center usage because they're coming into communities and they're drawing from those electrical resources that are already strained. And unless there's a way to work with those centers to invest in generation within those states and in those communities, there's going to be a huge impact on the availability of electricity.
That being said, being on the municipal electric doesn't always save you because we only get a certain amount of electric that comes out of the
out of the hydropower and stuff. So once we use up that allotment, we go on the open market. So we're seeing the same thing that the NYSEG customers are saying. My electric bill was three times what it was last month, then January for
Yeah,
February.
and
So like I
correct.
said, when we run out, we go on the open market and we're vulnerable to the same things that everybody else is seeing.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because you are a municipal electric and you go on the open market, you are going on the open market usually at the worst possible time, and you don't
Absolutely.
have the buying power that the larger utilities do to be able to take those costs and spread it out over a longer period of time. So the impacts are even greater in those municipal electric communities when they have to do that.
Any further questions?
On that happy
Shannon.
note, I was just wondering if there is an update with the property off from 390 in Whalen.
Not an update I can speak about in a public session.
How about Phillips Lighting? We keep
No, Phillips, I can talk about Phillips. I mean, so we they have DEC is requiring that they do additional work. There's a hot spot in the wetlands behind our building. There's also another area which is kind of behind Shirley's that DEC is saying you need to do additional work. That additional work is being done. It is not projected to be done until 2028. They have an interim site management plan in place that's been approved by DEC. And we have asked the question, and we have our engineers looking at it, with that interim site management plan that basically approves development in all of the other areas outside of those two hot spots, can something be developed there? Because if something can be developed in those two areas with the interim plan in place, then I think there is a path forward to start looking at the redevelopment sooner than 2028, when they expect the final site management plan to be approved. So that is the question that has been raised right now, and we have our engineers looking at it. Phillips is looking at it. Ultimately, we will need to raise the question to DEC, but if the response comes back that no, you have to have the final site management plan in place, then it's going to sit there until at least 2028 before that's done.
Anything further? Thank you, Jamie. Thanks a
Thank you,
lot.
Jamie.
Anything else? Motion to adjourn.
I'll move it.
Second. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Carries. Thank you, folks.